G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, August 19. I'm John Barker. Joining me as usual, Joel Marshall, Carl Diorio. Joel, we are here. It's not quite spring on the calendar, but Peter Lawrence Stakes Day, and this was a day that last year the Caulfield Cup winner ran in the Lawrence, as well as the McKinnon winner, and a couple of Group 1 winners emerged from the three-year-old races at Caulfield as well. And of course, at Randwick, we have Australia's champion racehorse Winx stepping out in the Warwick Stakes, which was not run on the same day as the Lawrence last year, but Winx ran in it and went on to win the Cox Plate, and is considered a better than even money chance to do so once again. So it's an exciting time. It's almost as an exciting a time to be a racing fan as it is to be Australian.
Yes, well, it is a very intriguing program at Caulfield on Saturday. You spoke of those three-year-old races. They're always a highlight, the Vane and the Quizette, and obviously the Lawrence. Well, DK Weir has gang-tackled the race, and I guess we're sort of getting used to that, but we probably should get used to it, him doing it on a more regular basis in bigger races, and that's going to happen this spring. I would suggest he's got a huge team, six runners in the Lawrence on Saturday, so keen to see how some of those big guns return.
DK, we're six runners. Carl, you with one of those or not?
Yeah, I am. I am actually. I think it's a fairly, it's an interesting Lawrence, and I think it's probably a sign of the $1 million for the Memsie that the Lawrence is being used as a bit of a semi-final before a bit of a clash in a fortnight's time over the same track and trip. So it's probably revitalised the Lawrence in an indirect manner. But a good little race, a nice betting race, and yeah, there might be a bit of value to be had.
Yes, well, let's hope so, because I'm tipping one that's $17. We'll take you right through the black type at Caulfield, starting with those three-year-old races we mentioned. First of those is race 5, Winslow Group Quizette Stakes for the fillies, set weights and penalties, 1,100 metres, Group 3, Joel.
Well, obviously a lot of the attraction is going to be around the Hayes Dabernig pair of Catchy and Tulip. Catchy, Blue Diamond winner, Tulip, Golden Slipper, Place Getter. Look, I'm tipping one that sometimes you always see these horses that can just really take the next step into their next campaign as three-year-olds, and I really like the debut win of number 11, She's So High. Thought she just travelled well, let down with a really good sprint, and won what looked to be a pretty decent race. We've had El Jaws of the runner-up come out of that race and run well to Bandipur, which is good good form. The third horse, Holy Seal, had beaten older horses leading into that Sandown run. She's had a nice little jump out, She's So High. I think at around $12 or $13, I'm going to play her each way to beat 1, Catchy, 2, Tulip, and 6, Siani, the Perth filly. Good Perth horses usually measure up. Obviously, she's only got two-year-old form, but she was desperately unlucky in a couple of her two defeats, really. She certainly got plenty of ability. But 11 for me from 1, 2, 6.
Yeah, one on top for me. Catchy, she's obviously going to be awfully hard to beat. She's got the barrier as well to sort of be prominent throughout, and I think under those circumstances, she's going to be pretty hard to hold out. Their only failure came in the Golden Slipper when it was running those atrocious heavy 10 conditions. Her victories prior to that in Melbourne showed that she's got immense quality, and her trials of late seem to suggest she hasn't lost any ability over the break. I think the main danger, though, is number 6, Siani, the WA filly that Joel was just mentioning. Won her first two starts, including the opening day of the season in Perth. The last two defeats, just I thought the Karakatic Plate run was quite good. Just got four back in the fence, held up, and flushed home late. Two recent jump outs at Cranbourne have been good. She's got a tendency to race with her head to the side, and I just wonder if she's feeling her legs a bit on these firmer sort of winter tracks. And important to note, the concussion plates on her front legs will be carried for the first time, so perhaps she would be a beneficiary of a more forgiving surface than usual at Caulfield.
Catchy for me too, to beat Tulip, Joel's selection, She's So High, and number 8, Crown Witness, of 4th, 1, 2, 11 and 8. Race 6 is the first leg of the quaddie and the second of these three-year-old races. This one's for the males. KS Environmental Vane Stakes. Same conditions, 1,100 metres, Group 3, Joel.
Tossed up this race between two horses. I'll be backing two of them. Two Veronillo, horse always had plenty of time for, and six Ducimus. I ended up going for Ducimus, who I think you can be a little bit forgiving for the first up run in Adelaide. Crossed from the wide gate, set outside the lead. I thought he battled on quite well, and I think the form's already held up, albeit only in Adelaide, but second and third, both nice horses have since won. He'll be a bit fitter. Noel Callow, unbeaten on the horse, drawn much better today, and with that fitness run under the belt, I've gone with him to beat two Veronillo. Blinkers on Medagliadoro's usually work. They didn't in the Golden Slipper, but obviously heavy 10 track, a tricky gate. I think we can be forgiving there. Blinkers on for his first up run, so I think he'll be very competitive. Four Jukebox, unbeaten in two starts, certainly hasn't done anything to put a pin through him. He certainly looks a smart type. And seven Lone Eagle, who's had that freshen up off a good win at Caulfield back on July 1. 6-2-4-7.
Thousand Degrees, the first start for me. Really been taken by his jump outs, even right from his first one back at Ballarat and going the clockwise direction back in November. Important to note that Tony McAvoy used four horses at those Ballarat jump outs. They were Nistan, Dispatch, Lumicon, and 1,000 Degrees. And 1,000 Degrees and Lumicon were spelled Nistan and Dispatch, then Quinella, the Ballarat Clockwise Classic. Lumicon was an impressive debut winner, the second start, I should say. He was horribly unlucky in his debut in Adelaide. He won his maiden on Sunday at Bendigo. And 1,000 Degrees steps up here in the Group 3. His two recent jump outs at Flemington have been positive. He has a tendency to step slowly, which is a small concern, drawn barrier one, but there's plenty of speed. I think he'll settle midfield, and if he gets a clear crack at them in the straight, he'll certainly figure in the finish. So I think he appeals an each-way price. The other horse I don't mind there is Plutocracy. Don't know where it gets to from the barrier, but I'll be looking for a nice first-up performance with a view to him being a Guineas contender later this campaign.
Jukebox for me hasn't put a foot wrong from Lone Eagle, Kobayashi, King's Authority, 4-7-9-10. Big race is race 7, Charge of the Light Horse, PB Lawrence Stakes, 1400 metres, standard weight for age, Group 2, worth 200,000, Joel.
I'm with one of the D Weir horses and a bit of a favourite of mine in Humidor. I think he'll be running a cracking race first up. He got it all wrong first up. His first run for D Weir back on Australia Day, sweated up, charged around to the gates, looked to have run his race, but really savaged the line the last 100 metres. To run fourth, it was a good effort, chased home the almost unbeatable at that time, Burning Front second up, and then of course went on to win the Australian Cup. Hopefully they've just ironed out a few sort of chinks in his armour. He likes to lay in and sort of get on one rein, which made things difficult. Probably cost him winning the Peter Young and maybe even the Carline Cup second up. But if he's learnt that little bit and taken even just another little step forward, I think he'll be running a great race at around $11 to beat. Two, Hartnell. His last two first up runs, he's run a clear second behind Winks. If he comes in with wins, first up wins under his belt here, he'd be certainly everyone would be talking about him, and they probably are. He is second favourite, so I think he'll run really well. Three Blackheart Bart in for third, and four Tosin Stardom, who just missed beating him in the Futurity first up in the autumn. 6-2-3-4.
Yeah, Humidor on top for me as well. Just think his performances last campaign, he gradually improved as his distance has got further, but he's got enough sharpness to be competitive over the 1400 metres. I think there's a few question marks about the opposition in terms of there's various knocks or question marks. Hartnell's a very good horse, but how will he get around Caulfield? Blackheart Bart, gee, I think they asked a lot of him at the end of last campaign, backing him up and taking him from Adelaide to Brisbane. Whether we see the same sort of horse after such an arduous test. He's had a quick turnaround as well, so he wouldn't have had all that much time in the paddock. So a start of a seven-year-old season, it's going to be curious to see what sort of shape Blackheart Bart's in. Tucson Stardom does interest me, whether they're going to bring him along slowly or whether he's ready to go first up, because his best form, well, his wins have been over a little bit further in Japan, but his form here, we haven't seen him beyond a mile. And if he does parade as if he's ready to go, he's certainly one that I'll want on my side.
Yeah, I'm with the second roughest, I think, of the Weir team. No, third roughest, and that's Star Exhibit number 7. Great fresh record, great 1400 metres. Just, obviously the last fresh win only beat Charmed Harmony, who's $61 here, but that was a slowly run race. Did very well to to finish off there, and I do just think Star Exhibit has a lot of talent that is perhaps as yet untapped, and we might start to see it on Saturday. From 3, Blackheart Bart, 6, Humidor, and 2, Heart Nell. Last of the black type races at Caulfield on Saturday is Race 8, the Listed Lister, Regal Roller Stakes. 1,200 for 4 years old and up, excuse me.
Yeah, I've gone 10 Savannah or more. I'm giving her another chance. I just don't think she handled the wet at all in that repositioned Bletchingly Stakes. Blinkers go on. She's drawn a tricky gate, which does make things a bit tricky, but I think she is a talent. And yeah, as I said, I backed her and tipped her in the Bletchingly, and I'll be following up just because I don't think she got through the heavy at all. Certainly Vega Magic, hardest to beat, number one. I think he can give away that sort of a weight and be very, very hard to beat. Obviously, the Group 1 winner. 11 Brave Smash creates plenty of interest. The Japanese galloper, first markets that went up, he did attract some support, it seems. Be keen to see how he looks parading around. And 14 Suchet in for fourth. He's been trialling up pretty well and probably could have won a couple more. He's won 3 from 8 and luckless a couple of times. 10, 1, 11, 14.
Yeah, Vega Magic for me on top. Best bet of the day, I think he'll be awfully hard to beat. But the main danger for mine is Santa Ana Lane. And if the winner comes from anywhere else, I'll be very surprised. Vega Magic's jump outs leading into his Goodwood performance were quite solid, but he just looks to have risen to another level. His workout last Friday was unbelievably good. He's got an amazing sort of ability to find off the bridle. He just keeps responding, and we saw that in the Goodwood. You know, he looked dead and buried at the 300, but then at the finish he was drawing away, and I think he can get across, sit outside the lead, and 60.5, I don't think it really matters. I think he can crush them. And Santa Ana Lane, who gets the 5.5 kilo weight swing and perhaps could have beaten him with a clear run in the Goodwood, does for mine look the danger. But I just think Vega and Magic's improved a hell of a lot and might set up a berth in the Everest after the weekend.
Vega Magic for me as well, from the Tasmanian Lord Da Vinci, Santa Ana Lane and Savannah Amore. So 1, 6, 7, 10. That's the first 3 legs of the quaddy. Last race is not a black type race, Joel, but your best bet comes up in it. So talk us through that, and no doubt your value bet comes up, does it, Carl?
No.
Oh, it doesn't?
No.
My best is, as you said in the last, I've made it Aussie Choice, number 14. Obviously, it's a funny race, this, at the moment, with a couple of emergencies being heavily in the market, 18 Revolving Door and 20 Awayanka. But even if they get in, I'm pretty keen on Aussie Choice. I think he looked ready to win. He didn't quite sort of settle when he was sort of in front and left to run them along at a pretty decent clip there at Flemington last start. He gave a good kick, and even when headed, I thought he batted on really well. Obviously, it was the race won by the blowout Nozomi, and there was a few sort of charging at the line there. I think the form will be okay, and I think he just looks ready. He hopefully can just take a sit. Majestic Duke probably come across from the wide gate, and there's a couple of others that can go forward as well. So I think he gets his chance fourth up, Aussie Choice, number 14, and my value for the meeting is Humidor, race 7, number 6.
My best, as I outlined before, was Vega Magic, race 8, number 1. My value bet is race 6, number 14, 1,000 degrees, it's $16.
And my best was Catchy, race 5, number 1, and value bet race 7, number 7, Star Exhibit. Royal Randwick is the venue for Sydney racing on Saturday. It's amazing that when the sometimes it seems that when the racing, when the prizes get bigger and the racing gets better, the fields drop right away, and that seems to have happened on Saturday. No more so than in the first race, the 2GB Silver Shadow Stakes for 3-year-old fillies over 1,200 metres, a Group 2 event worth $200,000, has only managed to attract 5 acceptors, Joel.
Yeah, disappointing size to the field. I'm with 5, Elise. She was unlucky not to win in her first prep, unlucky on debut. She was very good in the Magic Night behind Tulip, and then Forgive Run when travelling a bit wide on the heavy track there in the kindergarten. She impressed first up. Runner-up who goes pretty well has since won. I think she'll be very hard to beat, Elise, from 3 Champagne Cuddles, 2 Formality and 4 Villa Colotta.
2 horse race for mine. I think it's between the 2 Formality and 5 Elise. Going with the 2 Formality on top. Recent trials and jump outs have been good. Very consistent filly. I mean, David Hayes and Tom Dabnik and Lindsay Park have got a really strong hand, don't they, within this 3-year-old fillies division, and she's done nothing much wrong. A bit like Catchy. The only failure came in the Golden Slipper on the heavy 10. she'll let hit a drier surface on the weekend and I think put her best foot forward. So I've gone 2, 5, 3, and 4.
All right, the second of the black type races at Royal Randwick on Saturday is race 5. It is also for 3-year-olds, but this one is open to both genders, and it's a Group 3, and it's over 1,300 metres, and it is the Alpha Flight Services up-and-coming stakes, Joel.
Good with 9 sanctioned. He just might be a bit of an improver from the Godolphin camp this time in. He was placed on debut on a heavy track. He got on top of the ground and was a really strong performance crossing over from the wide gate there at Newcastle and just kept running. He has trialled really well leading into this. I think he's improved. He goes on top for me from 6 calculated. Obviously got a big reputation, this horse. He was heavily backed first up at the midweek in a midweek maiden. He won that and then tried hard behind Siege of Quebec. He's had that little bit of a freshen leading into this. 1 Trapeze Artist. Obviously has to give a lot of weight away to his key rivals, but we saw his stablemate last week do it. The name escapes me. Manaya.
Yep.
Do it. So, and Trapeze Artist, Black Opal winner, Group 1 placed. He's the class. And number 10, Cuba. He's going to keep improving as he gets over ground this time in. He's a nice horse worth following as the distances increase. 9, 6, 1, 10.
7 on top for me. I think it's pronounced Dracarys. Is that right?
Dracarys.
Yeah, it's really well bred by Snitzel out of Noctonelle. She was quite a capable mare up to 1,400 metres. Liked the first up performance behind the stablemate. That was in a trolley run race, and the stablemate assimilate just got home over the top. But I think it can turn the tables. I've got calculated in for 2nd. Son of So You Think. I think Hugh Bowman got off the horse after the first up maiden when said that it could...
You'll see him in a Cox Plate one day.
Really ridiculous when they'll be bumping around in Kensington benchmark 76 races, but it does look to have a fair bit of ability, and the last start effort was adequate behind Siege of Quebec. It box-seeded, Siege of Quebec led, dictated, and did a nice job. 3rd number 5, Assimilate, and 4th number 1, Trapeze Artist.
If horses could be models, Calculate, I think it'd be a model too.
So You Think outstanding doesn't throw many ugly horses, does he? I mean, he's pretty good at doing so.
The big one, I guess, is race 6, the Bob Ingham Warwick Stakes. It is certainly the main attraction, I would imagine, for people who are going to Royal Randwick on Saturday. So it's at a civilised time of 3 o'clock, but it does is the first leg of the quaddy. So, as we've said many times, the quaddy becomes a treble. Now, my good friend and almost half-pine nephew, Nick Quinn, was saying during the week, the key to these Winx races is to get the Quinella. So, if you could get La Squirty Spirit at at $81, you get this big Quinella. But I suppose if Fox Play runs 2nd, you're looking at, what, $1.80?
Yeah, that's the key, if you can find a roughy. Winx on top, obviously. Antonio Giuseppe for me, maybe, if you want to have a Quinella. He trialled really well leading into that autumn prep. He won first up, and wheels didn't really fall off, but he didn't probably reach the heights as some thought. He still ran well. I think wet tracks probably played their part. His trials leading in this time have been no worse, so he goes in for 2nd. Ecuador in for 3rd. Came to hand quickly last prep and had a really good campaign. Went to a new level. And 5 Inference, the classy 3-year-old, in for 4th.
7, 5, 8, and 1 for me. Winx on top to beat Inference. I think Inference, if Winx wasn't around, he'd be my tip to win the Cox Plate. But he might have to get used to the side of chasing her backside, although the Caulfield Cup may appeal as an alternative in those circumstances, and he would get in with a reasonable weight in the Caulfield Cup. For 3rd, Fox Plate, for 4th, Ecuador. But hard to see Winx having any danger of breaking out into a sweat. She'll go ahead and win her 18th, you'd say.
Yeah, Quinny might be onto something with this Quinella. You know, you'd think Exacta, wouldn't you? Because you'd think Winx is going to win. But yeah, maybe. Oh, maybe, well, you'd hope nothing gets scratched or there's no duets. But everyone thinks, no point having a Quinella, I'll have an Exacta. Mm. But then you find that
they always pay less with the shorties winning.
Yeah,
but even an all-up, if you're inclined to take 2 or 3 legs in an all-up, maybe a Quinella leg of the all-up.
Quinella all-up,
yeah.
All right, race 7 at Royal Randwick on Saturday is the Sydney Markets Toy Show Quality. Sydney Markets, so you'd think that... Nick Moraitis has got something to do with the sponsorship of today, and it's good that he has named one race after what is clearly his favourite boutique vegetable, and that is the broccolini. It's a race for the broccolini handicap.
He had a horse win the other day in the Moretus colours called the Potato Pontiff. I don't know if we'll be seeing him line up in a Group 1 race with a name like that, but the winner of the toy show is what we need to find, and I've gone with number 9, Shazzy Lee. No one sort of really found her for the Hawkesbury Guineas when she won at $51 and upwards at her last run before going for a break. And yeah, sometimes it can be hard to jump onto those sort of horses at their next start, but she's had a break, she's come back. I think she's trialled super leading into this. Certainly her trainer Scott Singleton thinks that she's taken another step forward, and he just wants to see her measure up on Saturday. I think she can. I think she can run a really good race at 20-1, Shazzy Lee. The form held up from that Hawkesbury Guineas pretty well too. 2 Dixie Blossom, she's a favourite of mine, and she'll be very hard to beat. She measured up to Group 1 company at her last couple of campaigns. She's certainly the testing material. 7 Imposing Lass in for third, and for fourth, number 3, Euro Angel.
Don't like this race one bit. Imposing Lass on top for me, though. Ran some quick sectionals from the back of the field first up last campaign over 1,200 at Randwick. Steps up to the 1,300 first up here, which might be a bit more suitable given that she does like to get over a bit of ground, but certainly harder opposition here. From 2 Dixie Blossoms and 3 Euro Angel, they've been a constant in mare's grade for quite some time, and for fourth, number 10, Heady Heights. But even race 3, the sponsorship of that race got me a bit puzzled. Harvey Norman and TAB, I did see that the other when the acceptances came in. I thought, where's the Harvey Norman TAB at?
Well, I mean, TAB obviously sponsored the whole highway series.
Surprised that they whack another one on the top. It's like the Emirates Foster's Melbourne Cup.
Yeah. Still, at least it's not the sports bet TAB highway club. Race 8, Sutton's Show County Quality, 1,200. Group 3, Joel. Spectrosome, interesting runner.
Yeah, he is a very interesting runner. He showed a really good turn of foot when winning first up last prep. Ome Swords, obviously a key runner, returning from the bleeding of Ban. She's been well backed in early markets. I've gone with number 6, Deploy. He's had a terrific record since being gelded. Kept chasing Quatronic there at Scone. First up last prep, went to Brisbane, won the Group 2. He just has that residual fitness under his belt, and I reckon he can run a good race. Number 6, Deploy. From 7, Ome Sword. She was super, winning the Silver Shadow first up in last spring, and then second in the Golden Rose. She's all class. 8 in for third, Invader, the 3-year-old, and obviously getting ready for the Golden Rose. He can be competitive against the older horses, though. And Spectroscope, number 4 in for fourth.
Spectroscope on top for me, always been a fan. I think his Doncaster, he perhaps didn't handle the backup, but he probably didn't handle that bottomless track at Randwick, which is just so unique. And the Hawkesbury, the skinny sort of straight, he was cluttered up. He never really got a clear crack at them behind Fabrizio, and he did enough then in his first campaign. He looks to have spelled well. His 2 recent trials have been fabulous. He'll only get better over further, but he can certainly sprint well fresh with just 56 kilos on his back. And I've got him ahead of 7 Oh My Sword, who's being touted as Chris Waller's Everest horse. So you'd expect her to have some freshness in her legs, and don't expect her to sort of stretch out over further, despite the fact she's a daughter of High Chaparral. 3rd number 8, Invader, who took all before him as a 2-year-old last season, and for 4th number 5, Daisy Doom, who takes on the males in this company, but is certainly good enough to figure in the finish. I've gone 4, 7, 8 and 5.
All right, well, Spectroscope race 8 number 4 is Carl's value bet, and Joel's, we heard the race before, was race 7 number 9, Shazzy Lee, and race 9 is not a black type race, but both your best bets feature here in this 1,000 metre benchmark 84. Joel, so talk us through yours first, and that's number 2, Top Striker.
Yeah, Top Striker. They've drawn a wide gate again. He drew wide a fortnight ago, and Greg Hickman scratched him, I think, within about half an hour of acceptances. But he goes into this race fresh. They've drawn wide. Hugh Bowman engaged, though. Hopefully, he can get some sort of a trip, because he hasn't had any luck at both runs this time in. Third, he was able to win second up last prep, and then third up gave plenty of weight away to Nieta, and ran a good second behind that classy mare. If he gets any luck, I think it'd be really hard to beat down in grade 2, Top Striker.
Yeah, that was the turn off of mine. I mean, his form standard stood out those two runs this campaign from wide barriers, but again he's drawn wide with a big weight.
Just where he's going to get to, isn't
exactly
it?
Right. I mean, there's pace on Lion Lion Trushant, Wide Acclaim,
Super Two.
They'll go forward and set it up for something from the back. Pro Console's been running home the last three starts, running the quickest last 600 of his respective races. Surprised at the 20-1s, but I've gone with Sandro Vessi as my best, who won last start over this track and distance a fortnight ago. Drawn barrier three that day, draws barrier two here. Just probably needs a little bit of luck from a trailing position, but hopefully gets it. And under those circumstances, I think it's a great each way bet.
Alrighty, Morfordville are racing on the course proper on Saturday, and we get into some black type there too. David R. Cole's AM Spring Stakes, 1200 metre group three at weight for age, and caused all sorts of heartache this race in the winning post office yesterday as Mick Price wore out his phone ringing Andrew Eddy telling him he was running in Melbourne, then he was running in Adelaide, then back to Melbourne, then back to Adelaide, and causing us to go through about three or four front pages. But not to worry, that's not your problem, listeners. But I'll tell you what though, Lankan Rupi is certainly, as we speak, believed to be going over to Adelaide for this race, the Spring Stakes, and is marked a $1.80 favourite. But not only has Carl Diorio found one to beat Lankan Rupi, but he has best betted this horse.
Yeah, and well, just to,
with an asterisk?
Well, just to show what sort of wonderful information we get here at racing.com. So we had the Lankan Rupi debacle of will he go, will he not go? And then standing around the lane, supposedly I liked in Melbourne, but was going to Adelaide, but then no, it's going to stay in Melbourne. So Risque, I've been told, who is my best bet today, is also entered in a mare's race over 1100 in Melbourne. I don't like it in the mare's race, but I've been reliably informed, or perhaps irreliably informed, given the events of the past 24 hours, that Risque isn't going to Adelaide. So under those circumstances, I'd lose my top selection and best bet. So Risque on top from Lankan Rupi, Santa around the lane, and Lord Aspen. Best bet, if Risque doesn't run, I will make Seb Fire, race three, number two. He won really impressively on a bottomless track last time at Swan Hill. He'll be no price, though. Value bet to race eight, number seven, with Gravy, who would be more confident if it was a bit back in distance, but has been hitting the line nicely and shouldn't get too far away from barrier five. A pretty even sort of way to end the card, and with Gravy at 16-1, worth a small each way play. But an Adelaide meeting that is not fantastic. I wouldn't be saying that if I was hosting it on TV.
I see he's by Schnitzel with Gravy. It was either that or Roast Lamb.
Yes.
One of the two.
And the mare Zeta Zest, which the owners raced, and Zeta Zest was quite a handy mare, but certainly hasn't passed it on fully to With Gravy.
Is there a stadium called Roast Lamb?
No, it was called With Gravy, so...
Now, Joel, you've drawn the short straw here. You have to analyse this Dubin meeting, and... if we could just have another, you know, whinge about our in-house woes, the new, well, it's not that new, I suppose, but the ability of Brisbane trainers to double accept is just causing us nightmares. I mean, it takes up all sorts of room in the form guide, and then here we are on Thursday afternoon, and you still don't really know what's running in what race. You've got race two, you've got a 20-horse field, and it's already down to 13. With a couple of other doubtfuls. So, anyway, we press on. What have you got?
After all that, we ignore those early races. They're a trap. But my best bet, Lascar. Made him my best a fortnight ago, 7-horse field. I didn't think Robbie Fratt had sit 3 wide the trip over 2200, but he did, and he came back and said the horse was disappointing. Well, I think the horse was entitled to get tired. He was 1600 to 2200. His previous run was good, so he was always going to improve with that run, and, well, it was certainly a fitness hit out for him. Michael Carl takes over on Saturday, and I'm sticking with him. Lascar, race 6, number 10.
And who was it who said, was that Jeff Lloyd you said last time?
Robbie Fradd.
Oh, okay, right.
And, yeah, he's got another ride in the race, Queen Gorgio, so it'll probably get up and
Jeff Lloyd's
got
two. Yeah, I don't know how he's going to go there.
No, he's good, but I don't know if he's... I don't know if he's that good. Sabcat is my value. He was in two races as well. Scratched from the open handicap almost immediately to run in the benchmark 75, the final event, where he drew 16. But either way, he's going to get back, and he comes down quickly, this bloke. His first up run last prep was a cracker, third at the Gold Coast over 1,200 behind Eckstein. If he can reproduce that, 1,350 suits better. Look, it's a tough race, but I'm happy to play at 20-1 for Sabcat.
Belmont's, they're racing. They don't have any black type, and I take it you haven't studied. But
no.
Greg Hooper?
Yeah, he's the man.
Yeah, okay. Race 4, number 4 is his best. Dutch Spy, back to 1,000 metres, looks very well suited. He was terrific fresh at this trip, then was found wanting late over 1,300 metres. Back to 1,000, drawn a gate. He parks in behind the speed and will monster the line. Value bet. Following race, race 5, number 6. This one, 5:04 Eastern, by which time, of course, you will be well and truly cashed up if you've been following the podcast selections. And this is Bushfire Blonde, who is likely to lead and possibly get a soft lead. Comes off a strong on-speed win. Runner-up has subsequently won twice. So we are talking race 4, number 4, Dutch Spy Best. Value, race 5, number 6, a Bushfire Blonde. Earlier in the day, Joel, in New Zealand, they are racing in Hamilton at Tarapa and also at former top footballer Tawera Nakam.
Yes, Tarapa has the Group 2 Wait for Age Foxbridge Plate. Many of these will be using this as a lead-in to... it's called the Tarzino Trophy now. It's had a few different names, that first leg of the Triple Crown there at Hastings. But Foxbridge Plate, race 5, heavy. Well, it's slow, or it's sort of slow-heavy at the moment, the track. The wetter the better for my selection, Under the Moonlight. Ran a cracking race in this race last year. She's gone through the classes, won a couple of stakes races since, and she's coming off a stakes win. So I think she can run really well. Number 10 from 13, No More Tears, 9 Perfect Fit, and 1 Cowie. My best is Wooden Edge, race 4, number 4. Well in with the claim. Put two wins together before the last start, 4th. I think he can bounce back to another win. Under the Moonlight was my value. And Tara Nikau, my best is Artaxerxes, which is race 5, number 11. First up from a spell with the blinkers on. Showed ability in his first campaign. They tried him in Group 2 company. He missed out there, but fresh up over 1,400. I think he'll run well. And my value is Nishita, race 4, number 6. Trialled well. Only had one run for the Stephen Marsh stable, but resumes here for a new yard. Has trialled okay. It's a pretty weak race, and I think 1,400 first up will suit.
Speaking of Tawera and a cow, imagine if Kirtley Beale had a son and called him Warwickner. anyway, Sportsbet Ballarat is the main venue for Victorian racing on Sunday, and it is a brave new world because it is an all jumps card headlined by the last race 6, the eCycle Solutions Grand National Steeplechase. Steve Pateman, Winning Post columnist, gives a fairly in-depth rundown on several of these races at Ballarat, and as far as the Grand National goes, he thinks it is Wells's to lose, and the only two other chances are, that's Wells is number 2, the only two other chances, the 1 and the 3, Sea King and Dormelo Mo. But I know that Paul Richards is very, very keen on Dormelo Mo in the National, race 6, number 3, as well as race 5, number 1, the Narcissist. Any thoughts on the jumps? Carl's shaking his head. Joel?
Over the Yard Arm did a pretty good job the other day at Sandown. I'm not sure what the weight situation there is with Wells, but...
Over the Yard Arm meets Wells better.
Yeah, he went to the front and gave him a bit to chase. Wells had a bit too much class, and he probably will again, but maybe the same Quinella. He might get, obviously with Sea King and a couple of those others in it, he might get decent odds for Over the Yard Arm again.
And there's an $80,000 race at Taree. That's the Stacks Law Firm Taree Cup. Race 7, 2,000 metres. Anyone?
Admiral Jello looks ready to win. He's up there with a bit of weight. I think Chris Lee's got a couple in at Olympic Academy. There's a couple of in-form horses in that, but Admiral Jello is certainly knocking on the door. He's had the two runs back, and he represents a bit of class in that field.
Okay, that leaves us only to remind you to pick up your Winning Post if you haven't already. All the form for Friday, Saturday and Sunday, plus all your favourite reading. We've got a feature on the best 12 steeplechases of the metric era, which I have a few quibbles with myself. I can't believe that Carrazzi is not in it, but apparently it's based only on Australia and New Zealand form.
Oh, that's true, because the jumps here were a joke, so he can actually keep up with the field, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, he only never did not win. I think he only raced in one steeplechase in Australia. We won a few hurdles. But still, I mean, we've got leading Bounty in there, and you've got Carrazzi, who's had four steeplechase starts and won $3 million. So I would have thought that was enough. But still, that's a talking point. So pick it up, see what you think. And finally, our best $20 bet of the weekend. Well, I managed to get Samovar knocked off last week. Let's see if I can do the same for race 5, number 1, Catchy at Caulfield on Saturday. Joel?
Not a day where I'm sort of raving with confidence, but he's been a good horse to follow, so I'll stick with Humidor each way in the Lawrence, race 7, number 6.
And I'll go Vega Magic, race 8, number 1, at Caulfield on Saturday.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. We'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.